Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be here this afternoon?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
That's good. My name is Kenneth Alubala Butichi. For those of you who joined us between June 30th and today, they're laughing because I'm just doing it for the sake of those who may have joined us between that period. I've been resting a bit. The African rest. You know, when Africans say they're going on leave, they end up doing more work than when they're doing work. So I'm glad that I'm back in Muscat. It's more of a relief again to be back here. Praise the Lord. This afternoon, I would like us to share on the subject of the favor of God. The favor of God. Variously, this has been described in different ways. You may have your own way of describing it. Most important thing is the experience you draw in terms of God's favor. Praise the Lord. Somebody was sharing a session and he said, we had four visually challenged people who were told to feel the elephant, but they were standing in different positions. So apparently they had some idea of some other aspects in life. So there was one who was standing next to the foot of an elephant, and he touched it. His interpretation was that an elephant is like a tree, because his previous experience of touching a tree, it was rough and cylindrical. So when he touched the foot of the elephant, that's what rang in his mind. Then there was the other one standing next to the belly. After feeling the belly, he said, in his view, an elephant is like a wall, because that's the previous experience he had had. So he said, it's like a flat wall, rough. And then there was this one who was standing next to the tusk of the elephant. He felt it was very smooth, but tapering, kind of ending up in a sharp point. So he said, this one looks like a smooth pillar that ends up in a sharp note. There was the other one who touched the trunk, and he had his own description, like it's a long, fat, thick rope. All of them were giving the description according to what they felt. And that's why I'm just saying that when we are speaking about the favor of God, he may have revealed himself in a different way to you. You are not wrong. Praise the Lord. It's how you experience it, and how you want to continue to experience it and to discover it. So I want to welcome you this afternoon as we have this discussion of the favor of God, that you open yourself to new dimensions. Whatever God reveals to you, try to give yourself to it, devote yourself to it, so that we may have the full, a comprehensive understanding and experience of his favor upon our lives. Variously, the favor of God has been described as God's preferential treatment extended to us. Preferential treatment extended to us. Now, sometimes there's this culture of queuing up, and I really get irritated sometimes although I put on a holy face, so that people don't realize that a Christian can get this mad. When you go to pay for your electricity bills back in my country, you are queuing up. First, you go to the bank to withdraw the money, you are queuing up. And as you come to pay for the electricity bill, probably you are queuing up. These days they have modernized it. Now you can pay on the phone. There's no problem now. You can sit in the house and pay. But previously, that's what used to happen. Then you move from there, you are going probably to discuss something with your mobile provider. Again, there's a queue there. And nobody pays attention to the fact that you've been queuing in three other places. So even if you told them, I'm tired, please just serve me. So it is always a privilege to have somebody who knows you and he comes to pick you on the line, gives you that preferential treatment just to be served ahead of the others. Although it irritates them, but you feel good because at least you've had that preferential treatment. This is what God does to most of us. There are situations that we find ourselves in, but the Almighty God, because he's giving you a preferential treatment, he makes your movement faster, makes sure that you are served according to his riches in divine glory. Praise the Lord. Else, other people define it as God's divine kindness and act of compassion directed towards us. All of us feel good when somebody extends that act of kindness and compassion towards us. And there are many times that we find ourselves in different situations in life, and it is always comforting to know that there is a Father in heaven who is always closer than even a friend. He's always ready to come and extend his compassion and love towards you. Praise the Lord. Maybe as I continue to talk like this, some of you are asking, but I've never felt it. Yes. When you don't feel it, it is because he's right there. You have not engaged him. Praise the Lord. And we shall be going into that to see how much we can engage him in order to benefit and to realize this favor. Other people say it is gaining approval and acceptance and special benefits or gifts, gaining approval. As a teacher, I'm a teacher by profession. Sometimes, just to make a child perform well, he just needs some kind words. Even if he has not done very well, you say, that's it, keep it up. Just those kind words, as a feeling of approval that he's on the right path. And then that dull student begins just to pick up. And before you know it, as you continue encouraging him, he will be among the top quarter. Praise the Lord. That happens up to us also as adults. Okay? If you're working with somebody and this boss is always just, hey, you can improve, try to do something. Even if you have done your best, of course your best may be 25%, but you need somebody to tell you, well done, praise the Lord. You just need somebody to tell you, keep it up, and you'll find yourself picking up. You'll move it to 40%. Before you know it, you'll move it to 60%, and then you'll be operating among the top people in the class. Just that acceptance and approval that you need. And it even becomes very, 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 very pronounced when, in the Friday school, we usually carry some sweets. So when a child answers a question, responds to a question, we give a piece of chocolate. And you can see them very active now because they know the more questions I answer, the more chocolate I'm going to get. So those of you who are intending to join us in the Friday school, please discover where the chocolates are sold. Praise the Lord. Carry a small bag with you. When a child answers the memory verse, give a chocolate. Praise the Lord. but tell them not to eat in the class. Praise the Lord. So there is favor that we need, all of us in life, everybody, no matter what your age is, you expect some form of approval. You expect somebody to do you some favor, to express favor towards you. And the good thing is that God, as a person, would like also to do that to us. He loves us so much and is always doing that. I would like us to look at a few examples from the scripture that show how much God loves us and expresses favor to us people. The first example that may appear to be a bit of a contradiction, but I would like us just to bear with me. We'll discover why it has to be that way. It's about Esau and Jacob. Romans 9:13. Romans 9:13. Are we all there? Romans is in the New Testament. Eh? Praise the Lord. All right. The Bible says, in the words of the scripture, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Some other versions say, I hated Esau. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Here it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Verse 14, are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. Verse 15, for God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. Verse 16, so it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. Praise the Lord. Now, I said this, some people might look at it from a very controversial angle, but God is God. Who are we to question him? Praise the Lord. Now, Esau and Jacob were still in the womb, the mother's womb. They were not born. Praise the Lord. But this declaration comes forth. I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau. I have had favor on Jacob, but I don't have favor on Esau. As human beings will say, this is so unjust. It's so unfair that this young man, Esau, who is unborn, is being disfavored by God. But who are we as human beings to question his purposes? If he has created some people, or some creations have been made for the purpose of fulfilling his promise to us, his chosen, who are we to question? That those that God has already appointed from the foundation of the earth, we learn that from Ephesians, and he has already chosen them as his own children. So are we part of this group? Praise the Lord. Those of us who have been going through the Bible study, you realize that in the book of Ephesians, when we started, that was an area that we were dwelling with. Praise the Lord. That we were chosen from the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation, actually, we were already chosen. And as many as have received him as his personal savior, as their personal savior, so has he made them sons of God. So you have become part of this commonwealth of God. You have a right to enjoy the benefits of God and the favor of God. You belong to this family of Jacob. Praise the Lord. You belong to this family of Jacob. So God already designated you as a favored person. That's why the Bible says we belong to the royal priesthood. We belong to the royal priesthood. There is a favor that has been bestowed upon you as a child of God, and you need to appreciate it. As you walk in your faith, you need to always appreciate that God has designated you for a special favor in his plans. And so as we continue, the questions that arise from here, they say, maybe, is God unfair? We say no. Second one is God selective in the way he treats us. And probably another person is asking, why am I not used as the other Christians around me? Because when you feel like you don't belong to this category of the favored people, there is a temptation for the devil to come and begin to initiate a discussion with you about how God does not love you. That is what happens always in the body of Christ. We sit by and look around, and probably you pray as much as Brother B and Sister C does. You attend as many meetings as they do. But at the end of the day, when we look at our lives, we begin to realize there is a special grace in the life of a particular brother whom you all participate equally in the activities of the body of Christ. And there is always a temptation for you to question, am I really standing right with God? Am I in the right place, in the right fellowship with my Father? The answer is yes, you are. It's only a matter of time, and these things will begin to manifest in your life. Praise the Lord. There's no discrimination with God. There is no discrimination with God. And the reason why I'm saying there's no discrimination with God, we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and reemphasize what we have learned over time, that we belong to this household of faith that is chosen of God. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, when you are reading that, the us includes you, doesn't it? It's saying us. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's critical that you begin to appreciate that you belong to this category that has been blessed, that has been favored of God. Because if you don't do that, the easiest thing the devil will do to you is to begin whispering in your ear how much God does not like you, how he loves others more than you. And the human nature in us is to begin to develop bitterness in our heart, because probably we are working more, we are praying more in our own view, we are attending to more church activities than Kenneth, and yet Kenneth looks more blessed than we are. Of course I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. And I wish that all of us partake of this scripture, that we are blessed. First of all, make it right in your mind that you are blessed. Now, blessing is irrespective of what you are going through now. It's irrespective of what you are experiencing in life. Praise the Lord. I'll give you an example. If you have money in the bank, does that exclude you from contracting malaria or a fever? You can easily contract a fever, isn't it? But the difference between you and the person who doesn't have money is that you can go and get tapped into your blessing and go to a doctor and pay for your medicine. There's another person who is not able. Praise the Lord. So it is possible for you to be blessed and yet continue experiencing what you are going through, not because God has denied you, it's because you have failed to knock on the right door. The favor is always there. Whisper to somebody next to you, I am favored of God. I am favored of God. Amen. Now, all spiritual blessings, that was another thing that you need to remind yourself. It's not just a small favor. It encompasses all spiritual blessings. Now, the problem is, If you don't understand that the spiritual blessings supersede the physical, then you'll continue focusing on the minor physical blessings and fail to appreciate the spiritual blessings which encompass even the physical. And that is why sometimes in our lives, we end up lamenting so much of what God has not done to us. And God the Father is looking at us and saying, what kind of son is this, Kenneth? I have already blessed him with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And he's still crying around. Now, there are some things you must understand as a child of God. If God has already released a blessing into your life, he's not going to force you to experience it. You must take an initiative also and begin to experience it yourself. If we serve a meal here, and we tell people, okay, you can come and serve yourself, and you remain a gentleman in your seat, and seven Kenneths are here, by the time you come to visit that table, you will be carrying away the plates. Because we will do justice to whatever has been served. Praise the Lord. So it is important for you as a child of God to understand, I am a child of God, I've been blessed of God, I've got a right to experience the blessings of God, which is a favor to ask me, and I need to take the initiative. God has already laid it there. It's like a buffet. I like one servant of God who said, he's a very blessed man in Nigeria. He said, when a buffet is done there, he makes sure the person who offered feels actually justice has been done. You know Adeboye? Yes. When I was listening to him, I was laughing. I didn't know. But what he was saying is, God has laid this table before us. If you decide to take only the dessert and then leave, it's your problem. Don't complain outside there that I'm feeling hungry when Kenneth is belching. Because it was there for you to take. Praise the Lord. So it's important for us to understand that God has blessed all of us equally. And we have got an opportunity to enjoy the blessings that God has for us in equal measures. But you must also take the initiative as a child of God and go out and seek for it. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Praise the Lord. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and shall be given. If you don't ask, don't complain. If you don't seek, don't cry out. Everything's out there. Praise the Lord. Now, why do I say that some of us may not understand the concept of favor? I want to take you to one gentleman, Gideon, in the book of Judges, chapter 6. Gideon. Gideon was a brother like you and me, but he had little understanding of God's favor. Probably from his past imagination, he thought God would come in a dream and say, I am Jehovah God. I have called you by your name. But it doesn't happen that way for everybody. Praise the Lord. God has got a way he speaks to you as his own child. And you need to be sensitive to it. Now, if you look at Judges chapter 6, I'll not read the whole story. Verse 2, the Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel. Verse 4, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza, they left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. Now, the background to this is in verse 1. The reason why the Israelites are experiencing this is based in verse 1, where they had sinned against God. Praise the Lord. And in verse, as we continue reading, we see that the Israelites had devised their own way of solving the problem. So it was to go and hide in the caves, and whatever they had harvested, they would hide it. That was their solution. But that was not the abundant life that God wanted them to enjoy. Why am I saying that? Because there are some of us, many of us, who are struggling in life. We are Christians. We know we are faithful to God. But we seem to be struggling all through. And sometimes we wonder, what is the problem? Why are things not going smoothly in my life? The truth is that God's favor is still upon you. But the problem is, we need to engage him in the right way. Praise the Lord. We need to understand who we are in him. If we continue to see the highlights that we have from this passage, that the experience had led the Israelites to look for their own solutions, which I've just described. Again, if you read further, you discover that they had forgotten the past victories that God had given to them. They had forgotten them completely. Along the journey from Egypt, they had forgotten. They also feared the Amorite gods more than Jehovah. They forgot that they were a favored nation. Why do we say this? Because when you come to verse 12, you begin to see a different view of God. Because in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, I've skipped some verses there, and you need to understand that Gideon at that time was actually next to his cave threshing. And so the response that Gideon gives to us is like most of us today. It's the same, it exhibits the bitterness we have towards God. Because the angel of God is telling Gideon how God perceives Gideon. But Gideon, in his own understanding, he's nothing. He's been beaten. He's lost it. The life that he's leading is not worth talking about as a child of God, because it's full of struggle. He's fighting just to survive. You will read the rest of the passage on your own. But the angel of God says, "Mighty hero." Now, look at Gideon, a man who has despised himself. I'm sure he's looking around and wondering, do we have two Gideons here, or is only me? Because according to himself, he's nothing. He can't do anything. He has just to hide. But the angel is calling him, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And then Gideon says, "Sir, I think you've made a mistake. Are you looking for the Gideon on the other hill or this Gideon?" So he says, "Sir, if the Lord is with us," because he had told him the Lord is with you. So he says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Does this sound like you? I know you don't want to say yes. But this is the same response we usually have when we are feeling low, we are feeling beaten, we have lost out on something. We begin to ask God, "Are you the same God that delivered me 2 years back? Have you changed?" And yet the scripture says he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if the scripture says he doesn't change, it means he doesn't change. Praise the Lord. But Gideon is questioning. When we come to this level, we are now an easy prey for the devil. Because he begins to plant ideas in our minds. These are not questions of a child of God who has experienced God, who has walked with God, who knows who God is to him. He has entertained a stranger in his thoughts. He's allowing the devil to whisper lies to him. The Bible says he's a liar. When he speaks lies, that is his native language. Praise the Lord. It's as natural for him to lie. And so when the devil begins to whisper this, to bring these questions in your mind, you need to wake up immediately and begin to remind yourself, my God is with me. He leads me in the green pastures. In the quiet waters, he will always be with me. Praise the Lord. That is what you have to understand. But then in verse 14, because God does not want to entertain this, he wants to remind his son, my love and my favor for you is still as strong as it was in the beginning. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. No, there's nothing as challenging as being so low. You've been praying over something 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. Until now you have, maybe this is not the plan of God. You know, once you start doing that, you know you are taking 180 degrees. Eh? Maybe this is not the plan of God. But when you started, what did you know it was? When you started praying, you knew it was the plan of God. Now you've gone only 1 month. You fasted for 3 days. Maybe God is speaking something different. Stick there. Hold on to your prayer. Praise the Lord. That's the mark of faith. Faith is not touching something and, oh, this is a temple. No. It's believing those things that are not as though they are. Calling upon those things that don't exist into existence. In Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11, the Bible says, for thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Can you tell somebody, God knows the plans he has for me? God has got good plans for me. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how long that issue has taken in your life. The thoughts of God concerning you in that situation are still as strong as they were in the beginning. They are good plans. Praise the Lord. It is up to you to remain in the place where God has called you and to know that God is working something out for you. Praise the Lord. Maybe you are in our midst, you are among those of us who have been waiting for a very long time, and we feel like we have lost time regarding the things that we have been praying. So much time has been wasted until we are about to say, okay, I can do without it, let me go for something else. I want to pray and to remind you, there was a servant of God by the name Elijah. After 3 years, there was no rain, and this man sends his assistant. The assistant sees a small cloud, and he tells him, let us run. He tells the king, take your chariot, go back. But I like one thing about that verse, that record, that this man tied his dishdasher. You know, they were putting on dishdashers those days, eh? So he tied his dishdasher, folded it, and the man with the chariot had already gone. He caught up with that man, passed him. Praise the Lord. That means the time you have lost, God can gain it, can fast track it. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if I had done this 10 years ago, I would be very far. Maybe it would be very far towards hell, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we run too fast, but in the wrong direction. Praise the Lord. We run too fast, but in the wrong direction. And probably God knew that you are that kind of person. He had to restrain you and say, okay, wait until you mature. Now, I'm not saying that you are immature. Praise the Lord. There are some blessings in life. If God gives you too early, they will destroy you. I gave you an example. I thought I was being very good to my son when he was still young. So I went to buy some a tablet, and I thought now he will be impressed. Yeah, okay. He said, let me just buy this. There were cheaper ones, which I would have bought for him, and I would be ready to discard it. But I bought this one. I said, let me buy for my son this. And the second day, he's trying to discover what is inside. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So whose mistake was it? Was it my son's mistake or mine? All I would have done is to buy the cheaper one until he gets used to it. Then he knows what it is. Then I buy this other one. Praise the Lord. But because he wanted to see these things inside the tablet, he had to break it and try to discover what was behind. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying, a delay in what you are praying for does not necessarily mean that God has given up on you. Praise the Lord. He's still on course, but he's going to give you at the right time. Praise the Lord. Fix that in mind. He never delays in his promises. What lessons do we draw from this? Understand how God views you. We have seen Gideon looks at himself as a very useless person, but God looks at him as a hero. God is selecting him to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. He gave so many excuses about himself, how he comes from the smallest tribe and is the smallest of his people, but God was seeing him as a deliverer. Praise the Lord. That reminds you about Moses, how he said he didn't have good speech. He could not express himself before the Pharaoh, but God insisted, it is you that I've chosen to do so. Praise the Lord. Because God is not interested in your personal abilities. He's interested in your availability that he may use you. You become an instrument. Praise the Lord. So don't look at what you can do yourself, but look at what God can do in using you. Two, do not limit God in any given situation. And three, from Isaiah 43, 18, 19, God is into new business with you. You read that verse on your own. He's about to do something new. Praise the Lord. He's about to do something new in your life. Probably it's just good for us to look at it. It's an interesting verse in Isaiah 43, verse 18, 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise the Lord. That is what God is promising you. It does not matter how difficult it has been. Yes, I'm one person who loved giving a testimony what I experienced 10 years ago because it was good. But then God began to challenge me. Why, when I was giving manna to the children of Israel, the manna of yesterday would be rotten. Praise the Lord. I'll give fresh manna every day. So I began to realize the blessings that God has for my life need to be new every day. Praise the Lord. So in the case of Gideon, he's remembering the good things that God did for them. in those days, and also complaining about the experience he's going through. But God is saying, I'm about to do a new thing in your life. Praise the Lord. God is about to do something new in your life today. It is up to you to avail yourself. That man, after struggling with God for long, he later gave in. John 16, 23, 24, also, ask that it may be given to you, that your joy may be made complete. Praise the Lord. Some of us don't get anything, don't enjoy the favors of God, because we don't seek for them. We don't ask. We just take them for granted. In the book of Esther, another example comes out. There's a slave girl, Esther. It's a slave girl, Esther. She has been a slave all this time. But it comes to a time that God's favor falls upon her. And the Bible says, if you start from verse 15, the last part, she asked for nothing except that he suggested. And she was admired by everyone who saw her. Some versions said she was favored by everyone who saw her. Praise the Lord. Esther was taken to the king. This name sometimes becomes a problem. Xerxes. I hope I pronounce it right. At the royal palace in the early winter of the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than any of the young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. Praise the Lord. You shall become a queen in the coming days. Praise the Lord. There is a favor that comes from men and comes from God. In this aspect, we see Vashti. Vashti experienced favor of men. They loved her. She was beautiful all along. But she failed to gain the favor of God. She failed to gain the favor of God. Praise the Lord. But there was this slave girl from a humble beginning who did not have much. But God's favor was upon her, and also the favor of men. When they looked at her, they saw this was befitting to be the queen of the land at that time. Lessons. The favor of men does not endure. It brings one from grace to grass. The favor of God raises one from grass to grace, from a slave to royalty. Are we ready to be ushered into royalty? Remember, the Bible says that we are the royal priesthood. We belong to the royal priesthood. Praise the Lord. So I want to say that we need to prepare ourselves to experience the favor of God, irrespective of our station in life now. Because when the time comes, it doesn't take much time, and God ushers us into that place. For Esther's time, it took time for her to be trained. But I want to tell you, Joseph, after suffering so much, it took just a matter of hours, and he was ushered into the second position in the kingdom. Praise the Lord, because of the favor of God upon his life. Praise the King of Kings. Quickly, Daniel is another man who experiences the favor of God. In Daniel 2:48, we see a situation where this man also, they are in captivity. There are people who are captives. And so, somehow, through God's own working, he brings them into the place where he begins to bless their lives. And Daniel emerges out of that crowd to become a vessel in that kingdom. You will go and refer to this verse, this place again. I know you are familiar with it. So we see a situation where Daniel, in 48, then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as the chief over all his wise men. Now, this position was not set apart for the captives. But now a captive, somebody was a captive, inherit this position. Why? Because of God's favor upon his life. Praise the Lord. But what makes Daniel to inherit, to access this place? Because one, Daniel revered God. If you look at the life of Daniel, he was somebody who feared God so much. He always sought to know the mind of God concerning issues. The moment this dream, this issue came up, he went back to his house and told the friends, "Let us seek the counsel of God regarding this issue." He was not the kind of people like Kenneth. You first of all plow yourself into a situation, it becomes difficult, then you remember there is a God somewhere. No. Praise the Lord. I caution you, brethren, I have that weakness. Many times, I'm carried with my own emotions. I just want to solve things. And then I realize I'm worsening the situation until I say, "Oh, wait a minute. Why am I fighting and my father is there?" When I go back to him, I tell him, "Father, now take charge. First, forgive me for assuming your position. Take charge." It doesn't take long and God intervenes. Praise the Lord. I welcome you to this fellowship with God that you may also experience the same. Learn to tap into the favor of God by surrendering everything to him. Let us not be people who want to accomplish, who want fame for ourselves. No. Daniel was a prayerful person. We see that this is what caused him problems because he was so committed to his prayer life, he never forgot to do so. He was a man of consistency in his spiritual life. No situation changed the purpose, the plans, or the program of Daniel. It didn't matter what it was. And he had also impacted his friends in the same way. You remember they were telling the king, "Well, even if our God does not save us, we are not careful." Remember there's a furnace that is burning. And they're telling the king, we are not careful to bow before your image. Now, these qualities attracted God's favor, and I pray that they may be part of your qualities in life. Praise the Lord. How do we attract the favor of God? How do we attract the favor of God? We have touched some of them, like prayerful life, like that of Daniel. We have talked about being reverent to God. It's important for you to revere God. There are some people who only engage God when things are tough on their side. But otherwise, God is a co-driver somewhere there until they hit a bump, then they call, "Why didn't you tell me there was a bump somewhere here?" Let's not be that type of people. Praise the Lord. Relationship. We have always talked about relation. And I want to say the first relationship that you must cultivate in order to attract the favor of God is with God. You must have a relationship with God that is genuine. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, "I stand at the door of every man, at the heart of every man, knocking. If any man opens his heart, I will come in and dine with him." What a privilege to have the King of Kings reside in your life. Then you begin to experience him on a daily basis. Learn to honor God and all God-ordained authority in life. We have already talked about revering God, and I'm citing Job, a man who revered God and was blessed in his life. Does this mean all these people did not experience problems? Because when we are talking about God's favor, sometimes we may easily interpret it to be a smooth sailing life. No. God's favor is in fact appreciated more when we are facing challenges. Praise the Lord. In times of challenges, then it is so sweet. Somebody said, when you are sitting on a table, people who have gone hungry for 3 days, they will not ask for salt. They will start eating the food, they will eat. Then when they are becoming full, they said, "Is there salt?" Once you hear those kind of additives that are required, then you know this man is now becoming full. Now he's selecting what to eat. But you are, if you are hungry, you go for anything. Whatever is served for you. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying, let us learn to have a closer relationship with God. The Bible talks of Enoch who walked with God and he was no more. That was because of relationship. That attracts the favor of God in our lives. Abraham had a closer walk with God, and that is why we see him being called the father of faith. Praise the Lord. Quickly, the benefits we derive from the favor of God. The favor of God will open doors that were hitherto impossible. Praise the Lord. Doors that you would not imagine would open. When God's favor is upon you, those doors begin to open. The people who hated you begin to love you. Do you know some of us have got challenges in our place of work because there's just the spirit of rejection around you. And so whatever good you do, nobody seems to want to appreciate. And I'm saying that we need to seek that God's favor be upon us so that spirit is eliminated from our life. The favor of God will make you stand out in a crowd. What makes David, the shepherd in the family, to be chosen the king and not the firstborn son, as it was expected, is the favor from God. Praise the Lord. Seek that favor, and God will make you stand out in the crowd. The favor of God will bring the remembrance of forgotten rewards in your life and dreams too. Joseph had dreams at 17. He only came to realize them later. Remember when he was in the prison, there was this gentleman, he's told, when you go, remember, 2 years passed. The guy is just enjoying in the palace. He has forgotten about Joseph. And then the God of favor brings another dream to Pharaoh. Praise the Lord. Because he has not forgotten his promise to us, Joseph. Many of the things you desired in life when you were young, probably you have given up. God has not given up. Somebody said one time when you go to heaven, God is always expanding another store there. I've never been there, but I'm this what? Praise the Lord. There is a store for the things that have been returned. He sent them out for you to receive. You were not ready. The angels came. They found you are not ready. They returned them. They are packed there. God has no business of bringing them back to his inner store. So the angel will be telling you, Kenneth, remember when you were praying over this thing? This was the prayer, the answer. But you know it will be too late to say, let me go back on earth to enjoy it again. It will be too late. So I'm saying, those things that God has impressed upon your heart previously, and you've kind of given up, it's never too late. Revisit them. Revisit them. And God will bring them to reality. And lastly, the favor of God will cause a change of names. Praise the Lord. We know Jacob. We know Abram. Abram was Abram. But then, when I call Abram, then, praise the Lord. Not this Pastor Abraham, the Abraham, the one who had a long beard. His name was Abraham. But when God wanted to change his fortunes, he had to change the name. Praise the Lord. Jacob also, when he wrestled, God had to change the name. There was a reason. Because many of us are very forgetful. But when I keep calling you that name of a changed character, you will begin to appreciate what God has done in your life. It may not be evident at that time, but when I begin to call you Abraham, the father of nations, probably Abraham will look around and see, where are the nations? But God had a plan in his life. Praise the Lord. When he would call Israel, then Jacob will, my name is Israel. And then he began to understand what God was speaking into his life. Praise the Lord. I want us all to believe God for a name change in our circumstances, that we may begin to enjoy the favor of God in our lives. May God bless you so much. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I know we might be thinking, do I really have favor of God? But believe me, for you sitting here down here, it's a favor of God. Many of your mates, they are in the hospital. Many are no more. For you breathing, it's a favor of God. All you just have to do is to surrender everything to God. When you surrender everything to Him, everything will favor you. Because Psalm 84 verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor and honor. No good things does He withhold from those whose works is blameless." The terms and conditions is attached there. Brethren, you want that favor from Him. You want that unmeasurable favor. Surrender your life to Him. Give your life to Him. He will favor you all around. Let us be on our feet. I want us to pray. First, I want you to appreciate God that, "God, I thank you for giving me your favor, for being alive. It's a favor." Appreciate Him that, "God, I thank you for favoring me, for me to be alive today, for me to be part of this service." You know what God has done for you. Begin to appreciate Him. They are all favor from God. Because you stand out today. Because you can speak, you can talk, you can walk. You are alive. It's a favor of God. Appreciate Him that, "God, I thank you for all the favor that I've received from you. For the provision that God is providing for you is a favor. That, God, I thank you." Appreciate God for all that He has done in your life, in the life of your family members. Thank Him. Because in Scripture it said that nothing is impossible for Him. And you are going to tell God, "Because nothing is impossible for you. This other area, I'm expecting you to favor me, Lord. As I go out, as I come in, favor me. Let your favor be upon me. In the mighty name of Jesus." Begin to talk to God. Open your mouth and tell Him that, "God, let your favor be upon me." You need to walk in that spirit. You need to move to the right place. Lord, for you be at the right place at the right time is favor of God. Father, give me the spirit. Let your spirit lead me to the right place at the right time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that God, the spirit of God, will be upon you. That you will move at the right time. You will go at the right time. You will be at the right place at the right time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Begin to talk to God. Talk to God that you need His favor. That, "God Almighty, open the door of favor for me. In the mighty name of Jesus." For you that have been redeemed is favor. Because Saul was going on his way to Damascus, he received favor and his life changed. Lord, I need your salvation. Favor me as you have favored Saul. I want a change of name. I want to become Paul. I want to be your minister. I want to work for you. Let your favor be upon me in the mighty name of Jesus. Begin to talk to God. Talk to Him. He's the one that can lead you, that can direct you in all the path that the glory of God will shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Enough is enough of procrastination. You don't need to procrastinate again. Father, favor me. Let me take that decision of salvation. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be recognized in your kingdom. I want your glory to shine upon me in your kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Ask God to dress you with the garment of favor, because when God dresses you with the garment of favor, wherever you go, the favor of God will be upon you. You will shine, you will radiate, like you will glow like sun. And they will definitely say, "Yes, the favor of God is upon this fellow." Father, I pray that you have, as you have opened your mouth this afternoon, Whatever you have decreed into your life, the favor of God itself will answer you in the mighty name of Jesus. Is there anything that is taking you away from his path? I pray and I join my faith with you. Just as Saul met, have the favor of God on his way to Damascus, so you will receive your favor to come to his kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus, to work for him and to serve him in the mighty name of Jesus. Spiritual favor shall be yours in Jesus' name. Physical favor shall be yours in the mighty name of Jesus. Your children shall be favored in the mighty name of Jesus. In your working place, you will be favored, you will receive the favor of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Your health, your life will receive the touch of God. Everything shall favor you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God, for the word you have spoken to us today. Lord, we remember your servant that you have used for us. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. The depth of knowledge that you have given unto him shall never dry up in Jesus' name. We pray, Almighty God, bless him, bless his family, bless the work of his hand in the mighty name of Jesus. And as many of us that have listened to him this afternoon, Father, let your favor be upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we go out this week, Father, right from as we step out, let your favor be upon us in Jesus' name. Let the weather favor us in Jesus' name. Let the climate favor us in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go into our working place, let your glory shine upon us and they begin to see your favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, we want to appreciate you for all our programs. Right from January up to this time, we want to lift your name up for all the favor that we have received. Blessed be your holy name in Jesus' name. Lord, the rest of our program this year, let your favor be upon them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. As we go once again, Lord, your favor is going with us in Jesus' name. When we meet here next week, it shall be to your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. Remember our members that have traveled, that are yet to return. Let your favor bring them back in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall be in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. The favor of God will be upon you throughout your life in Jesus' name. Go in peace in the mighty name of Jesus.